It's good to see you guys. How are y'all doing today? Glad y'all are here. I'm excited about today's message. It's actually the first message in our series on frequency that we started last week, but last week I did a message that was kind of impromptu. And so this week I have a message that I prepared actually a few weeks ago, and I'm excited about it, but I'm really excited. If you're a guest here, I just want to say thank you for coming. Listen, it's our heart that you connect with God and you walk out of here having encountered him, but also encouraged, knowing you can live the life that God's called you to live. I recognize that my primary gifting is probably teaching. I love to teach. And today, I want to teach on a topic that I think many people have problems with. In fact, if there's one question that I get over and over and over as a pastor, it's how do I hear God's voice, or how do I know God's will? And they're kind of the same question, because when you hear God's voice, you'll ultimately know his will. But that is the number one question that people have, is how do I hear God's voice? So today, the title of the message is Preparing to Hear. I should have titled it just Getting Ready. So redneck, that's the redneck version of it. Getting ready to hear. How many of y'all getting ready to hear? Are you? I don't know. We'll see. How many of you here would consider yourself like maybe redneck? Raise your hand. Like one guy. This is so wrong. Two guys. Come on, rednecks. Proud rednecks. Raise your hands up. Thank you. There was one person in first service. And then I just asked the obvious question. Is how many of you are from Moss Bluff? Raise your hand. Come on, raise them high if you're from Moss Bluff. Or DeQuincy, or DeRitter, anything that's like north of the Calcasieu River, basically, that you're all redneck. So we're all getting ready. We're all getting ready. I know, I'm from north of Jennings. What does that make me? I don't know. Confused, that's what it makes me. I want us to get ready to hear from God. In fact, that's why this message series is called Frequency. Because God does not have a speaking problem. He is constantly broadcasting to us. We have a hearing problem. And the reason that so many people have this one question, like, what? Why can't I hear God? Why do I read the Bible and it's just so dry? Why can't I know God's will for my life? They're all the same question. Really, it's the same longing. I want God to speak to me. I want God to speak to me. Well, good news. God really is a speaker, and I want you to know his voice. And it's not that hard as long as we're intentional. I don't know why, but like hearing God's voice has never been that difficult for me, though it wasn't until I was 14 was the very first time that God spoke to me. And I was reading the Bible. I was reading Galatians 1:10. My youth pastor challenged all of us to really get a vision from God, to hear from God about what he had for us. And he told us we were gonna read in the Bible, go eat popcorn. And I'm like, what the heck is that? It's the books of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. It's the letters that Paul wrote to the churches, that each of those is a region or it's regions of the Middle East. Galatians, Ephesians, the Philippians, and the Colossians. And so I'm reading Galatians 1:10. He said, are you trying to please men, or are you trying to please God? If you're still trying to please men, you're not a servant of God. And like, it stuck in me. And that was the first time that God spoke to me. And when he spoke to me, it was to call me to him and away from that which was keeping me from him. And so the passage that we're going to look at today is a parable. A parable is simply a story with a meaning, and Jesus told a lot of them. And the reason that he told stories with meanings was because people remember stories. And in fact, oftentimes people will come up to me and say, hey, you remember that time that you punched your sister in the stomach so hard that you covered it up and told her that you bent down and told her she's gasping for breath? If you tell anybody, I'll kill you. If you tell mom and dad I punched you, I'll kill you. And then she had to go get a spinal tap. Like, people remember that. How many of y'all remember that story? Come on, raise your hand. See, a lot of people remember. See, you remember that. Do you remember what the point was? I don't remember what the point was either, but it's a great story. Today, I want you to get the story that Jesus tells and remember the point behind it. Because I want you to know how to hear God's voice. And the reason that the title of the message is Getting Ready or Preparing to Hear is because there must be an intentionality. Because the problem is not on God, though don't we do that? Don't we put it on God? God, like, where are you? Because like, I'm going through some junk right now. I don't know where you are. Like, where are you? Like, I'm looking for you. And then we wonder, like, well, God, the question really is never, God, where are you? It's where are we in our heart? We need to prepare to hear. God's a speaker. Let's look at Man, that's a tongue twister. Let's look at Luke. Let's look at Luke chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. This is Jesus speaking to his followers. He's telling actually a group of people this parable about the sower and the seed, the farmer and the seed. And he clearly says at the beginning, he says, the sower, the farmer, it's God. And the seed is God's word. But I want you to get this. It's falling on four types of ground: a footpath, the rocky ground, a weedy area, lots of weeds and thorns, and good soil. God is the sower, he's the farmer. The seed is God's word, that when we allow it into our heart, it blossoms and it produces a crop that we can live from. But the soil is our heart. Do you understand this? This passage of scripture is about your heart and my heart. It's not about the sower. It's not about the farmer. God is the farmer. He is constantly sowing. It's about the condition of our heart. We'll read verses 5 through 8. It says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. Everybody say path. It's the footpath. It's where people walked. It was trampled on. Everybody say trampled. It's trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Look at verse 6. As some fell on rocky ground, everybody say rocky ground. So we got the path, we got rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Verse 7, other seed fell among the thorns. Everybody say thorns. We got the path, we got the rocky ground, we got rocks, we've got thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And look at verse 8. Still other seed fell on good soil. Everybody say good soil. Good soil. My heart for you today is that you walk out of here with your heart being good soil, prepared for the seed that God will sow into your life. It came up and it yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. This is so God. He gives you one thing, one word, but it produces 100 more life-giving things if you're able to receive it into your heart, which is no surprise why so many people have difficulty hearing God's word, because the tactic of the enemy is to keep us receiving the life-giving word that God will speak to us. Let me just tell you right now that this is black and white on a page. That's why you can read it and get absolutely nothing out of it. Have you ever read the Bible? Be honest. Have you ever read the Bible and you've gotten zero out of it? Because it's just black and white. It's just words right here. But when we recognize that God's word is alive, this is paper and pleather or leather. And if I took a match to it, it would burn. Listen carefully to this. The Bible is, I believe it from beginning to end. I've read this book many, many times. It is inerrant. It is truth through and through. But this is a book. God's word is alive. Does this make sense? Are you following me here? Because we've got to kind of think in a three-dimensional way. Like, this is a book, but it's God's word. But you could burn it, it'd still be God's word, because God's word is alive. It's Hebrews 4:12. It says God's word is alive and active. It's like a sharp two-edged sword that cuts into who we are. Good soil. I pray your heart is good soil, because it'll yield a crop 100 times more than was sown. Look at this. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear. It's the same thing. Y'all can just leave it on the scripture. It's the same verse. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Everybody here, more than likely, has ears, unless you're like Mike Tyson. Then you might have just one ear, but that's all right. Some of y'all from the 80s remember that. Y'all remember when it wasn't Mike Tyson. It was Evander Holyfield, wasn't it? Mike Tyson had the snack on Evander Holyfield's ear, didn't he? Yeah. Yeah, a little ear sandwich. Interestingly enough, Evander Holyfield is a very strong Christian. So even though he doesn't have ears, he can still hear God's voice. Come on now. Woo! I pulled myself out of that hole. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I pray you can hear God's voice speaking to you today. We're gonna look at each type of soil. My heart for you is that if you have trouble hearing God's voice, maybe you'll recognize why that is today because of this parable, this story that Jesus told us. The first type of heart that he addresses is the hardened heart. The farmer went and he sowed seed along the path and it got trampled on and the birds ate it. It's a hardened heart. You know, Jesus's disciples, he actually explains this parable to them. He explains the parable afterwards and says, this is what each type of soil means. Verse 12, the first one, those along the path, look at this, those along the path. Can I just say that he goes from talking about like seeds and a path as a noun, those is a pronoun. That means he relates it to people. Do you see the difference? I want to make sure, because I'm just getting this right now. I want to make sure that that's the case. He scattered, don't turn there, just leave this verse up. A farmer went out to sow his seed. He was scattering seeds. Some fell along the path. That's a noun. Those and ones refer to people. Does this make sense? Yes. So he's talking about people. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and he takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. What is it that keeps people from believing God's word? In other words, God's saying, I'm constantly sowing. It's there for you to hear, but you don't believe because the enemy steals it from you. He steals it because your heart is hard. How did the birds come and eat? How were they able to eat it up? The birds came because they sowed it along the path. Here's why. Because their heart had been trampled. We get a hard heart when our heart is trampled, when it's walked on by people. Here is what causes a hardened heart. You ready? I'm gonna put it up on the screen. It's one simple word. Here is what causes a hardened heart. Pain. It is pain. Pain can bring us to the place where we have a hard heart if we don't resolve that pain. It doesn't mean that the pain goes away. It means that we are resolved in how we're handling pain. How do people get hurt in this world? The short answer is this. People get hurt through sin, but oftentimes it's other people that we've given our heart to. And you know what they've done with it? Trampled on it. They've trampled on it. Look, good soil. We're in South Louisiana. We have great soil. We have some of the best soil in the country. And you can plow it up and you can turn it over and you can plant. Stuff's going to grow, right? I mean, is this not the Mississippi River Delta? Yeah, we have some of the most productive soil in the whole country. Actually, some of the most productive in the whole world. We have good soil. But anybody here, you've ever walked through a plowed field? Any hunters walk through a plowed field? Is it easy to walk through a plowed field?
No.
No. But it is easy. I don't know if y'all have done this, but I've done this before. You got a path you're going to be going back for. It's a plowed ground, and you do this.
Yes.
Man, I gotta get that so I can walk on that mess. Many people don't resolve the pain in their heart because it's easier not to, because it makes it easy to walk through life because you just cut everybody off. Man, they trampled my heart. I gave them my heart. Let me tell you, it is a hard heart happens because somebody stepped on you. And it's easy to hold them to account. Yeah, well, look what they did. Don't you see that footprint on my heart? And you begin to write people off. You're like, you know what? They stepped on my heart. I can't believe it. And you write their name down. And maybe it's not on a piece of paper. Maybe it's just on your heart. And you're like, you see that footprint? And you give every footprint where every person stepped on you, you give it a name. And it's the name of the person who did the stepping. And then you just put a line through that name. Like you write that name and then you line it out and you go, I will write that person off. They will never do that to me again. And after a while, it's one footprint, then another, because listen to me, we live in a broken, sinful world where people's brokenness will often invade your space and it will leave prints on your heart. If you don't forgive, you have a hard heart. Makes it easy because then you just go, forget them, and you keep everybody. After a while, if you got enough footprints, you begin not to trust a single person. Not a single person. And so you just put your hands out to everyone. You put your hands out to everyone. And you say, no way. I don't want anybody getting close enough to be able to step on my heart again. And you don't realize it. You don't just push away people. You push away God. Because ain't nobody gonna hurt you. I've been hurt. Makes it easy. Just write them off. Not gonna let anybody close. Oftentimes we do this without even realizing it. Not even realizing it. Cut people off, push them away, keep it at a distance. It's a hard heart. What you need with a hard heart is to allow the plow of pain led by the hand of the Holy Spirit to rip up all of that pat down hardened soil in your life. Throw seeds on it, ain't gonna grow nothing because it's been so stepped on and so hard, nothing's gonna grow. The plow of pain and the hand of the Holy Spirit will plow up your heart. This is what I want you to get. We can't receive God's word unless we're willing to forgive others. We can't receive God's word unless we are willing to forgive others. How am I going to be able to receive God's word in my heart if I'm not able to forgive people? Because when you don't forgive others, you allow your heart to be hardened in the pain of the plow of the Holy Spirit. Because when he begins to do a work in you, it hurts. It hurts, but it's worth it. It's worth it. The second type of soil. So what do we do with a hardened heart? We forgive. We recognize that though we've been hurt, Jesus is the great physician. He comes in to bring healing. It isn't always fun when he begins to plow up the hard areas of our heart. It's painful. It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of digging. The joy of the Lord is our strength. There's freedom when you forgive. There really is. There's freedom when you forgive. It doesn't mean that you say that the person, oh, it doesn't really matter. It's no big deal. It does matter. It can be a really huge deal, but you recognize that you've held on to a seed of bitterness. Actually, the Bible talks about that. When you hold on to unforgiveness, you're planting a seed of bitterness in your heart. And when it produces death. Forgive. The second type of heart, it's the second type of soil. The first was the hard, and the second was the rocky soil. And this is what Jesus says in explaining the rocky soil. It says, the seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and they receive it with joy. But remember, he says that there's no moisture there though, it's dry. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, then they fall away when they face temptation. Everybody say temptation. So if the hardened heart, that's a trampled heart. That's a hurt heart. That's pain. But the second type of soil, that's the heart, that's the path, that's pain. It's a trampled heart. But the rocky soil, that's a distracted heart. It's just a distracted heart. We've allowed temptation to keep us from what God has for us. And so often we think about temptation as something bad, but I'm just convinced that the temptation that keeps us from being able to hear God is most of the time not the bad stuff. Though it can be, but here's the thing. We know what the bad stuff, do you know the bad stuff in your life? Yes. Come on. If you know the bad stuff in your life, raise your hand. Because I'm going to call on you to come up and tell everybody right now. No, I'm joking. Do we know what the bad things are? It's easy. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't watch this. I shouldn't go there. I shouldn't be with this person. I shouldn't do this thing. We know. So stop doing that. But the temptation that keeps us from hearing God's word is so often the good things that tempt us. What are the good things that tempt us? Really, they're distractions in our life that need to be dug out of the soil of our heart. They can be great things. Well, I've got to serve at church this day. Then I have this civic organization that I'm a part of on this day. And then I have kids things here, here, and here. And then I have this project over here. And then I have work over here. I mean, are these all good things? Can they all be wonderful, fantastic things? Yeah, let me just tell you, a good thing that is still not a God-focused thing where it's keeping you from the God focus in your life is not a good thing at all. Man, I need my prayer journal up here because I don't know that I have it all memorized yet, but God's just given me a few things. One of the things that he's given me is, and it's under my words to live by, is that I must embrace intervention in my life. Some of y'all, listen to me carefully, you need an intervention. There's something that intervenes between you and the cares of this world and everything in this world, like all the good things that intervenes between that and your time with God. What is it that distracts you? What is it that keeps you? And Luke 10, 39 through 40. Jesus is at his friend's house, and there's two sisters that are there. And one of the sisters is sitting at the feet of Jesus as he's speaking to the people in the room. And it's a busy day, and the sisters, it's their home. And so Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. But her sister Martha is so concerned about being a good host and taking care of every one of Jesus's needs and all of her guests' needs that she's missing what Jesus is speaking because she's running around trying to do good things for Jesus and everybody else. And this is what we see. It says, she had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was continually listening to his teaching. That's Mary, listening to Jesus as he taught. But Martha was very busy and distracted with all of her serving responsibilities. Are you distracted? I'm so busy, I don't have time to spend with God. I get it. It's easy for me to get up and run. I mean, I'm sure that if I took the test, even as an adult, I would probably be diagnosed for ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Y'all know what that is, right? My nickname for a lot of years by a lot of people that got hit when they'd say it was Squirrel. That was my nickname. Squirrel, what's up? What? What's that? And I'd run from one thing to another. And God very clearly spoke to me, you need an intervention. Something needs to come between you and everything that's distracting you so that you can spend time with me. And I wrote this in my prayer journal as well, was that I'm gonna have to trust God that when I spend time with him and the supernatural, he will man the station for me in the natural. And he will, and he does. Maybe you've got a hard heart that pain has made it very difficult for you. You've got calloused heart. Nothing can penetrate your heart because you've been so hurt and wounded. Jesus is the great physician. He heals. Jesus brings healing. But we have to forgive. Maybe your heart is the distracted heart and you need to do some digging and take that rocky ground and take all of those rocks of distraction and pull them out. Okay, this is extracurricular. This is extracurricular. This is a good thing. This is serving. This is job. And you need to realize what's truly important. Here's the third type of soil. But before I do that, I want to give you this. It's in your notes. It says, to hear God's voice. Look at this. It's so good. To hear God's voice, I must turn down the world's volume. Y'all say that with me. You ready? To hear God's voice, I must turn down the world's volume. You got to turn it down. You need to tune in. That's why it's frequency. You need to turn down the world's volume and tune in. And distraction keeps a lot of people from that. Listen to me very clearly. God's put it on my heart. I'm supposed to write a book named about distraction, and I will get to it eventually. I promise you. I've just got a lot in between now and then. You know? No, I'm serious. Though. Like God's like distraction. Man, I've got to dig up those rocks. Dig up those. You are responsible for the soil in your life. And if you say, well, yeah, I've just been hurt and I've been wounded and I'm bitter and you have a hard heart, it's your responsibility to make sure it's not a hard heart. It's your responsibility to make sure that you're digging out the rocks of distraction. The third type of heart is the immature heart. Verse 14, Jesus says, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. They're choked by life's worries, riches, pleasures. They don't mature. Do you know why so many Christians, so many people in general, just so many Christians are immature? They're immature. Do you know why? Because they've allowed life's worries, riches, and pleasures to take priority. And here's what we have to deal with if we don't want to have an immature heart. You ready? It's one word. It's real simple. It's worldliness. What does that mean? That means I'm so focused on this world, this physical world, that I miss the spiritual one. I'll go back to what I said. That you're going to have to trust that when you meet with God in the supernatural, you're intentional about meeting with him in the supernatural, he will man the station for you in the natural. It's the immature heart. Lisa and I spent all day yesterday, which had been a while since just us, no kids, which I love my kids. They're wonderful. And sometimes they're even more wonderful when they're at the farm with my parents. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They're great. I love them. But Lisa and I had a great day yesterday. And we talked about some really deep, meaningful things. But when my kids were really little, my youngest is 8 now. When my kids were really little, I talked with them as well. But can I say that the depth of conversation was very different than the depth of conversation that Lisa and I had. And it wasn't because I didn't want to go deep with them. It was because they were so immature, because they were children, I couldn't go deep with them. God desires to go deep with you. If you allow the worries of this life, the worries of the world, to weigh on you, and that your focus becomes those things, you will be a worldly and immature believer. And if you go, God, why is it I don't ever get deep revelation from you? Maybe it's because he can't tell you those things because you're still spiritually immature. The weeds in our life will choke out God's word. It means we can get it and it'll grow up for a little while, but everything else in our life chokes it out. My grass is about this tall right now. How about y'all's? Come on, it's been raining like crazy. Y'all know it's just starting to dry out. It's supposed to rain for the next 3 days, and it's going to dry out some more. They say, who knows? I mean, it's the easiest thing in the world to be a meteorologist in Louisiana. It's 50% chance of rain all the time. Even in the middle of summer, it's always 20% chance of rain and 90% humidity. Come on, this is an easy job. Right now, it's just been really simple. It rains, and my grass is that tall. My flower beds. We were walking up to the house yesterday, and Lisa goes up to this big thing. I was like, "Oh, is that landscaping, or is that a weed?" No, it's part of that tree there. It's just all grow. Things grow up, and weeds communicate something. Number one, you don't have to plant weeds, do you? Well, they just grow up. They're just there. But they communicate something. Have you ever driven by a house that's got weeds this high all around it? Have you? And first thought is normally this: man, nobody lives there. Or if they do, they got some issues. They got some stuff they need to deal with. You know why? Because this is what weeds communicate: neglect. Weeds communicate neglect. If you're having trouble hearing from God, is it life's worries, pleasure, desire for riches, getting more, is that choking out? Is that choking out God's word? Here's what I want you to get. Maturity comes when we stop making excuses and start making changes. Maturity comes when we start making changes and we stop making excuses. I know it's hard. It's difficult. I know it's hard to do what you know you need to do, but when you do it, don't you feel better when you do it? And I got back in the gym Friday for the first time in over 2 months. And I had to. You know why? Because that dumb dryer kept shrinking on my pants. Like, stupid dryer. People were like, oh, you got you some new skinny jeans. I'm like, they were loose fit 2 months ago. Stop making excuses. Yeah, but it's been a crazy season. Yeah, it's been hard. You don't know what I've walked through. This is hard. This is painful. This is... Stop making excuses. Make changes. You are responsible for the soil of your heart. If it's hard, if it's rocky, if it's got weeds, if it's hard, let the plow of pain of the Holy Spirit till up the soil of your heart. Forgive. Turn to Him. If you got rocky soil that's distracting you, there's lots of things that are distracting you, dig it up, throw them out. If you got weeds and you're worried about life's worries and focused on the wrong things, rip up the weeds. Don't do the weed eater thing. That's what Christians do. They do the weed eater thing. Like, there's no such thing as a spiritual weed eater. There is simply you getting in there and weeding. And there's a big difference between weeding and weed eating. What's the difference? Y'all know? One gets the roots. The other just lops it off to make it pretty. Stop doing that. The last thing, as we wrap up, TJ can come. Look at that. That's a good man there, isn't it? He hates being put on the spot, probably. You do? I'm sorry, TJ, but you're awesome. It's the prepared heart. This is the good soil. Look at what Jesus says about the good soil. The seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word. Everybody say hear. And they retain it. Everybody say retain. I want you to do this. What is it? Hear and? Retain. I want you to hear. I want you to retain. Because when you hear God's word, listen, if you got a hard heart, it's just bouncing off the callousness of your heart because pain has pushed you away from the presence of God. I want you to hear God's word. If you're full of rocks, you got all sorts of other things that are surrounding you that are down in your heart that you need to rip out. If you got weeds, you got some bad stuff growing up. You need to rip it out so that you can hear, you can retain. And this is what happens. By persevering, produce a crop. I want good things to grow in your life. When you follow Jesus, it doesn't mean that everything that happens to you is good. No, let me tell you what the devil does. The devil throws rocks at your heart. The devil sends people to step on your heart. The devil puts weeds growing up in your heart, but it is your responsibility to rip up the weeds, to dig out the rocks, to let the plow of the pain of the Holy Spirit change you. Prepared heart. How do you prepare your heart? Here's really, really simple. If you realize there's some areas of hardness in your life, if there's some rocks that are down in your soul that are not necessarily even bad things, they just need to come out because you know what rocks do to plows, don't you? They break them. Maybe there's some weeds, some things that have grown up and they're choking out God's word and you rip them up. There's one word that sums up the plowing of the Holy Spirit, the removal of rocks, the ripping up of weeds. You know what it is? Here's the word. So many people have thought this is a bad word. It's really a great word. The word is repent. This isn't a big heavy. That means if I realize I'm going this way, but it's Isaiah 30 where I hear the voice of the Lord behind me saying, this is the way, go in it. That I'm going this way, and this is where the rocks are, and the hard path is, and the weeds are, I simply turn, and I walk this way. You know what my prayer has been for this last season? It's, Lord, help me. Lord, help me to walk and repentance. That simply means that the things that are over here, I've turned from them. Some of them long years ago. I've turned from that. Lord, help me to walk it out. Let me just remind you of this. Repentance doesn't happen simply because you say, God, I'm so sorry. Because repentance is only seen, truly seen, over time as you walk it out. Some of you probably need to go, Lord, I hear your voice behind me saying, this is the way. It's Isaiah 30. I'm walking this way and walk in repentance. So what do we do if our heart's not right? Repent, refocus, and revive. Let's bow our heads. Maybe you're here today and this message was for you. Say, Pastor, this message, if you say this message was for me, I know that there's some areas of my heart that I need to deal with, that I need to turn from the weeds, the rocks, the hard path. I need to turn to Jesus so that he can sow seed on good soil. If that's you today, nobody's looking around. You say, this was for me. I know this message was for me. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, this was for me. Come on, raise them high. Don't be ashamed. It's a lot of people. You can put them down. I'm going to pray for you in a moment, but maybe you're here and you've never turned to Jesus at all, ever. And today he's knocking on the door of your heart and he's saying to you, turn to me. Open your heart, your life to me. Maybe you've been running spiritually. Well, today, Jesus is here and he's saying to you, turn to me. You don't have to white knuckle it. That means hold on to the seat in front of you or hold on to your legs so tight because you sense something's going on that you just don't want to let go. Let me just tell you, let go of your fears. Know that God knows you and loves you and has a purpose and plan for you. And today, you can have a new life when you surrender yours to Jesus. This isn't about joining a church. This is about you opening your heart to Jesus. And if you're here, you say, Pastor, I need to open my heart to Jesus. I need a new life. I need to be born again. That's what Jesus said. It's spiritual life. It's being born spiritually. Maybe today needs to be your spiritual birthday. If you're here and that's you, you say, Pastor, that's me. Right where you are. I won't embarrass you. I just want you to raise your hand. If that's you, raise your hand. I see you over here. Anybody else? Yes, sir, I see you. Anybody else? Thank you. I see you right over here. Anybody else at all? I just want you right where you are. Let's just pray. Can we all just pray together? Say, Dear Jesus, I turn from my sin and my ways. I turn to you. I believe you died on the cross for me. You took the punishment for my sin. I receive you. I'm yours. In your name, Jesus. Everybody says loudly, come on. Amen. Can we give those folks a hand? Love being your pastor. Let me just tell you, I felt in large part like this message really needed to be a message of vision. And I really feel like God's calling me to speak on that, just what we see that God has for us. But I know this. This is what he's called us to as a body of believers. To break the spirits of pride, poverty, and prejudice in this community. Think about it. What has raised this ugly head for years in this region? Pride, poverty, and prejudice. May we break them in Jesus' name. And when we do, as we're doing that, we can know this. The best is yet to come. I love y'all. God bless.